Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for our consideration this morning is taken from the first chapter of Hebrews, the epistle text, which has already been read. Be seated. You know how it is when you hear or hear about a person, but you haven't actually met that person. Maybe a friend of a friend, a relative who lives in a distant place, a famous person, or even a local celebrity. So, like, what's Paula Sands really like? Or Jim Fisher? And if you watch or listen to them, you can pick up bits and pieces. Jim Fisher rides a recumbent bicycle around Davenport, carries guns, and goes to church now. That's a new thing. He goes to Trinity in Davenport. And I've actually met Jim Fisher, and to talk to him in person, it's like talking to a different guy. He speaks very properly. There aren't any ain'ts. And the very casual, some might say sloppy grammar that he uses on the radio, he calls that his radio voice. And this person you've heard or heard about, but not yet met. So when you finally meet that person, what do you find? Well, you probably find that what you heard or heard about that person is true, or mostly true, but face to face, it's different. Face to face, you pick up mannerisms, you pick up body language, you make eye contact, and 100 other things about that person that cannot be communicated using mere words. It's what the writer to the Hebrews is talking about when he says, in many and various ways God spoke to us of old to our fathers by the prophets. You heard and heard about the prophets, and you heard and heard about Jesus. But in these last days, he has spoken to us through means of a son. And that's different. First, there was Moses, who wrote the first 5 books of the Bible, the law, using words. Before Moses used words to write those first 5 books of the Bible, there was the Word. By means of that powerful Word, God created all that he created, and God said, "Let there be light," and into the darkness came the light. 5 more times God spoke using words, and all this kind of appeared out of nothing. Early on, the rabbis recognized that all the basics can be found in those first 5 books of Moses. How all this got to be here. How man came to be what we are. That God himself will come into the world to save man from what we have become. All that can be found in the first 5 books, the books of Moses, the Torah, and the rest of the Old Testament, they say, is commentary and working out of the details. Isaiah had a lot of commentary. He added details about the coming salvation on Sunday. Isaiah talked about how the Messiah would be born of a virgin, that he would be Emmanuel, God with us. And just what would that look like anyway? And he talked about how Messiah would come to know right from wrong and choose the right while still eating curds and honey. That's the food of infants. What would that look like? A child who only does right and never does wrong all the time? And Messiah will be born in Bethlehem, and what would that birth look like? His heel will be bruised by the seed of Satan, and he will crush the head of Satan and the suffering servant of Isaiah 53, the kingdom that will last forever, the healing of the lame, making of the blind to see and the deaf to hear. What will that look like? And what will we see when we behold that prophet that is greater than Moses? And they heard those words, and they believe those words, but what exactly would that look like? What would it sound like? What would it smell like? All those words in the Old Testament, and there are lots of words in the Old Testament, but in those last days, in these last days, Hebrews says, he has spoken to us by his Son, by an actual person, whom he has appointed the heir of all things. And remember what the heir does to inherit the inheritance. It's not about what you do to inherit. It's about being who you are. If you are the Son, then you are the heir, through whom he also created the world, using words in the beginning. John tells us there was the Word, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And that's what it looks like when God speaks to us by means of his Son. That Son is not a new thing. The Son has been around for a long time, eternal. In the beginning, John says, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning, the creator of all things. The voice that said, let there be light, and it was. The voice that spoke and said all those other things and created all this. In fact, this Son is the embodiment of that Word. His human flesh encapsulates and surrounds that Word. And so it is. And so it is that the Word often comes out of his mouth, and it's a human mouth that speaks the Word of God from Jesus. The Word inside that man cannot be bound by human limitations. He must speak. He does speak. And nobody before or since has spoken like him. The embodiment of wisdom speak words of wisdom never heard before or since. When God, who said, let there be light, enters into the world in the man Jesus, his eternal light, Hebrews says, breaks through all the darkness that keeps someone in spiritual ignorance, bondage, that is, every resistance exerted by sin. Like the light that broke through the darkness on that first day, like that beautiful sunrise this morning, the light of God breaks through to man who was bound by his spiritual ignorance in the person of Jesus Christ. You want to know what God looks like? You want to know what God looks like? Look at Jesus. That's what God looks like. Hebrews says he reflects the glory of God and bears the very stamp of his nature, upholding the universe by his powerful word. Thinking people recognize something like all this doesn't just happen. Deists, that's people who believe in God, but they don't have a Bible, wonder how the earth, for example, stays put. It's pretty solid, isn't it, the earth? You can stand on it. And even though it's moving at well over 100 miles an hour, it's still pretty steady. And how is that? Well, Hindu theology, for example, holds to the world turtle theory, that the earth is perched on the back of a tortoise, and it's a very large tortoise that the earth is perched on. Nice try, Hindu, but no cigar. Hebrews knows of the one who is upholding the universe by his powerful word, sustaining not just the world, but the universe by his word. You create something, whether it's a website or a blog or a work of art or a labor-saving device, you know that creation best. And the person who creates something knows best how to maintain that creation. Well, that song about God holding the whole world in his hand, the language here has God metaphorically holding the entire universe, maintaining it, Hebrews says, by his powerful word. And God took upon himself human flesh. He was begotten, not made. He's been here forever. He entered into his creation. And Hebrews said when he had made purification for sin, he sat down at the right hand of majesty on high, meaning when he had completed the task at hand, when he had purified man with his blood shed on the cross, when he declared it is finished on the cross completed, then he ascended back up from where he came. And he continues now to be what he always has been, much superior to the angels. In fact, the angels worship him in heaven. People have long recognized that not all things are the same. Not all created things are the same. The ancient Greeks, had a chain of being. It's like a pecking order. And if you've ever been around chickens, you know that there is an actual pecking order among chickens. So this chain of being, the pecking order, God is at the top. Then to the Greeks, angels, then humans, then animals, then plants, and finally minerals, and all of them with subcategories. Not all humans are the same. Not all plants and animals are the same. And that's how the natural man sees it. And Christians see it like that also. Medieval Christians had a chain of being with one change. One change. The civilized pagan Greeks had the angels above men, because angels are, they thought, permanent beings, but man is transitory. Man is born, then he lives, then he dies, and then he's gone. But we know that we are born, that we live, that we die, and then we're resurrected into eternal life forever. God, of course, is at the top, then man, then the angels. And that's what Paul's talking about when he writes to the Corinthians, that God has put us above the angels, to correct that error of the Greeks. So, what did he look like anyway? So, when God came into the world, what did he look like? The thing is, there were no cameras. The first visual we have of Jesus is a painting of sorts. It looks like a lot like a stick man. Your four-year-old, actually maybe your three-year-old, would draw. Jesus was a Jewish man who likely wore a beard, because that's what Jewish men did in those times. He almost certainly did not have long hair. I say almost certainly he did not have long hair, because when Paul the Apostle, who actually saw Jesus during his lifetime, a Jewish man, tells the Corinthians that even the natural man knows about long hair, quote, "Doesn't nature itself teach you that it is disgraceful for a man to have long hair?" It's a rhetorical question, and it begins with the Greek word ou, means that it expects an affirmative answer. Yes, nature itself does teach us that long hair is disgraceful for a man. And if you've been around, you know, I used to think that long hair Jesus came from the 60s and speculated exactly when the first university professor stated with no evidence that, well, you know, Jesus had long hair. Actually, long hair Jesus goes back further to about the 18th century, when it was apparently not disgraceful for men to have long hair. Think of the portraits you've seen of George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin, all those long-haired founders. Painting has progressed quite a bit by then. And so Jesus, the painters painted Jesus long with long hair to look like they did. So what does he look like anyway? In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets. See, the man God has placed into the prophetic office, it's one reason why the pastor has to be a man. Otherwise, it would be a woman-woman relationship with the congregation. That's not right. Hear the word of God proclaimed to you through that man. Not all churches teach that. We do. But what does he look like then? Well, since the ascension, Jesus, if you're talking about the visual, Jesus looks a lot like bread and wine. He looks a lot like bread and wine. Add to that bread and wine the words given to us by the Word, very powerful words, and the bread and wine are the body and blood of Jesus. So that's the visual. What does Jesus look like now? Looks a lot like bread and wine. And people say, that's it? That's it? Bread and wine. That's what Jesus looks like? And God kind of says, yeah, that's right. That's what it looks like. For now. But one day, you will see him face to face. And that will be different. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.